Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, send us a message. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975, not dead Fred. You can also get in on the text line, 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour? A lot of Rockets talk. Which, you know, makes sense.
Yeah.
Little flood talk, little general basketball talk, and then just a bit of TV there at the end. And asking for a friend, asking where does Better Call Saul rate? I don't know yet.
You've got to see how it finishes.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that show, though.
Yeah, I enjoy it. This weekend,
It's clever.
I'll be binging season 4 of Lucifer, which is on Netflix.
I think my next binge is season 3 of Sneaky Pete.
When is that? That hasn't dropped yet, has it?
Yes, it has. Oh, well. Got the alert today.
Oh, I may be watching that instead then.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's... And it's funny because each year, like, I get to the last episode and I'm like, I'm probably not going to watch it. And then it ends so well that it sets up the next one. Okay, I'm going back. Little Texans news for you today.
I'll take it.
They've signed pretty much all their draft picks.
Oh, that's not news. Of course. You always sign your draft picks. That's what you got to do.
Yeah. So somebody was doing a hit today on podcast that I do occasionally, and asked me what I thought of the draft, and it's kind of like they drafted for needs, but you never really know, right? Until you get these guys out there. I mean, I like that they address tackle and corner. We'll just have to see if they can play, but they also put Ejiofor on the injured list, so that means he probably won't be playing this year.
Probably not.
Showed some life last year, but no details on what's up with him. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, hey, we were talking about Astros a little earlier. At what point do you start worrying about the back end of your rotation? I mean, how much farther along do you get? Like another month?
I mean, I think there's already some red flags thrown up, but just when you think, oh man, it's a total mess, Brad Peacock goes out and spins a gym.
Yeah, he looked really good.
And it's like, oh well, everything's good. But that's the thing, you can't count on that consistently, because if you remember early in the season, everyone was like, oh, Colin McHugh, he's so, I mean, who was worried about him? That guy's great. And then all of a sudden, he turned into a pumpkin.
Yeah.
I think they know. They know that they right now they're a really good team, and a lot of it's because offensively they're a great team. But just like before, when and we knew this at the time, before they got Justin Verlander, you and I both said this team can't win a World Series unless they go out and get another starting pitcher, and they did, and I think they're smart enough to realize that could this team win a World Series without grabbing another starting pitcher? Maybe. But if you want to put yourself in a position to feel a lot more comfortable, that's probably what they're looking at. And hopefully they come trade deadline or whenever. I don't think they need to make a deal now, because you scared of anybody in this division?
No.
No, I mean, you assume that what you've got now is good enough to get you through until the trade deadline. And then when the trade deadline comes, you wheel and deal a little bit and grab something. I would imagine this year more than ever, they would be willing to trade some of these prospects that they've coveted and protected for so long. You know, because Now it's like, okay, we've got Jordan Alvarez and we've got Kyle Tucker. At some point, how many of these guys do we need? How many of these guys can we actually play on the field at the same time? Same with their pitchers. And Forrest Whitley's probably not even their best pitching prospect right now. So at some point, Derek Fisher is another, like, that guy, he's probably well past his top value.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to realize, man, we've been slow to pull the trigger with some of these prospects, and they lose value over time. And there's, you know, if it's not this guy, we'll find another guy, another prospect. So I think they're smart enough to realize that it's going to be a need for them if they want to contend for more than the AL West. And I think they'll make something happen. I don't think they're going to keep looking like a small market team and standing pat and holding on to players that are long-term control. But I think they're going to go for broke, try to win a championship again.
And to me, they just need one guy.
I think so too.
Because you're still going to have.
I wouldn't mind another middle reliever. I don't think that would hurt.
If you trade for a starter, one of those guys becomes a middle reliever.
That's true.
Yeah, then it's McHugh, or assume McHugh right now.
Yeah.
So.
But we're also assuming that these guys stay healthy all the way through here.
Well, and that's the thing. And I was doing the Sports Guys podcast today, and they asked me about that. It's like, well, what this does is you don't really have room, especially in the lineup. Where a guy like Alvarez, where do you put him right now? I mean, nobody's hurt. How much playing time would he get?
Well,
unless you're just going to punt on Tyler White for life.
That's what you'd be doing. That would be your option.
So, but I mean, you're having to make moves to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you have to make that move right now.
You don't have to make that move right now. Things are going too well for you. Yeah. And at least if there was a starting pitcher that was dominating the way that Alvarez is dominating, you'd have to consider it. But as it stands now, I think you keep riding this thing out. I guess the other option would be, well, maybe moving Yuli out of the lineup, but you're paying him, and he's not been awful. He's not been real good. He's not bad, though.
But he's not bad enough to
pull
out of the lineup, because you still don't know what you're going to get out of this kid just because he's tearing up AAA.
Right.
And it's a pretty small sample size, but Corbin Martin's off to a pretty good start.
That's the guy. Yeah, he's the guy that's really been kind of killing it. And I guess maybe what you could do is you could look at a guy like Tony Kemp and ask what his value is to you right now, because he's not been what he was a year ago, obviously. And if you punt on him, are you really missing out on much? And then you could just move Alvarez into sort of a rotation of guys who are getting playing time. I mean, but like, if you want to sit Yuli for a day, cool. You want to sit Tyler White for a day, cool. Make him, I mean, the guy it would probably hurt the most would be Jake Marisnyk, because if you need a fourth outfielder, there's your guy. Although Jake Marisnyk at this point, probably more of a late game defensive replacement anyway.
Well, that's what he's always supposed to have been, though.
Yeah.
And last year when he wasn't hitting, he kept getting thrown out there, and then that wasn't really his role. But yeah, you know, he's been better this year at the plate.
Yep.
And I don't know. I don't know.
You're getting way better out of guys, with the exception of Altuve and probably Yuli. Almost everybody in the lineup, I would say you've gotten what you can expect out of them, or better than what you should expect out of them. So, I guess that kind of, to an extent, includes... No, it doesn't include Tyler White. I mean, he's in that other group, too. That dude's still got 2 runs batted in 62 at-bats.
Yeah.
I mean, that ain't going to get it done. That's your designated hitter / first baseman. You need bigger numbers from that guy. So, but
I think Diaz can, you should expect a little more out of than 228. I mean,
yeah, I didn't think, I just thought he was useful because of his versatility. I never thought he was a really good hitter. I just thought that he gave them sort of a utility guy, which is what they were losing in Marwin's, which is why I said, oh, that's a good move because he can do that. I never expected him to be a guy who hit consistently. But luckily with the lineup you've got, you don't really need that. So, but Chirinos has been way better than I think anybody expected him to be. Michael Brantley is as good as Michael Brantley's been in the past. I think if you expected Michael Brantley to be this good, I would say you probably were expecting too much, but it's worked out. And Josh Reddick for sure has been better than you could have expected. So, you know, it's Springer too. Add Springer to that list. Springer's not a guy you could go into the season saying, oh yeah, I think he'll hit 300. I've never known George Springer to be that guy. I've always said if George Springer hit 270, you're probably in good shape. But the Astros, as a lineup, they've overperformed. So I think that's what's keeping them from, you know, throwing up any sort of panic right now.
No, and back to Diaz, though, he's a 273 career hitter. He's never hit below 259 in a season. So I think 228, you can expect more than that.
Yeah,
I think it's fair to ask for more than that. All right.
He's also played in how many games?
Three full seasons, basically.
No, I'm saying how many games has he played in this season? Like last year.
19.
Last year, he was a full-time player.
Yeah.
It's hard to get into a rhythm when you're not a full-time player. If I'm not mistaken, his first year, the year he was an all-star, was basically a full-time guy. And then the year after...
111 games that year.
Okay. The year after that, not a full-time guy. Not as good of a year, right?
Yeah, he hit 259.
Okay. And then Toronto, then he went to Toronto and he was a full-time player and had a solid year. He's not a full-time player here. It's hard to get that rhythm.
I think he'll be better than what he's been.
I mean, I would hope so.
So. Somebody mentioned Brantley's never had Carlos Correa and the rest hitting behind him either. It definitely helps.
Yeah. But he also played in some pretty potent lineups back in the day, back when like Jason Kipnis was a stud. And I mean, the Indians had some pretty salty lineups for a while.
All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here in the dark side of me.
Oh. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So, I don't know if you guys talked about this yesterday, but both Cam Chancellor and Doug Baldwin out in Seattle.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it, but that's a changing of the guard, man. We knew kind of the Doug Baldwin injury thing was gonna probably be, he said himself he's probably done. So it's not like it's a huge shock, but those are two guys who have been a part of this Seattle team for a long time. The Cam Chancellor thing is, I mean. It completes what they've been doing over the last several years, completely overhauling that secondary.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of the final big piece.
Yeah. So, I mean, we saw Sherman leave and then Earl Thomas leave. And I mean, it was going to come. And I think the savings, the surprising thing was there's a lot of dead money with Cam Chancellor, but it not so much with Doug Baldwin, but I mean, at some point, if you feel like, it's time to move on, then you move on. Baldwin was released with an injury designation, which kind of changes the way that there's injury protection payments that they can make. So I don't know how that affects necessarily the cap. But I do know when a guy's dropped as an injured guy, then it changes the way that your cap is penalized. But until he passes a physical, he's going. I mean, he's the payments are different than what they'll be after he passes a physical.
713-780-ESPN. So Yardbarker went through and said had the most glaring teams that still have glaring holes to fill in the NFL.
The Texans.
You'll never guess what their number one on the list is.
Cornerback?
Offensive line.
Oh, well, that's good too.
I still think cornerback is a bigger issue.
Well,
because they've invested two draft picks and a free agent signing, two high draft picks on the offensive line. And I also believe that, well, you invested a high draft pick last year on Rankin, who probably moves inside. You invested a second round pick in Martin, and he was the fifth best center in a 14 division. But hopefully, at some point, I don't know. I mean, I think there's at least bodies there now. There's investment. I still don't know who your corners are going to be. I mean, are you starting the rookie? Are you counting on Aaron Colvin to be healthy this year?
I think you're going to have to start a rookie. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to start rookies on the offensive line.
Yeah. But I'm
there's no easing those guys in, which was kind of the reason why I thought that, them using the pick on who they did on Howard was odd, because I figured they'd want a guy, and it was like, oh, he's a great project, and a couple years, this guy could be like Dwayne Brown. And I was like, well, that's weird, because they need somebody who can play at a high level today, because they don't have time to like ease this guy in. But I do think Lonnie Johnson's a guy that they'll feel comfortable throwing out there.
Yeah. One. So it's Johnson, Roby, Joseph, Colvin, kind of your cornerback rotation. I'd feel better with one more guy in there. So here's the other teams that still have big issues. Jacksonville Jaguars, pass catcher.
Yeah.
I could see that. Boy, you spend all this money on Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Got to get him some targets. Kansas City Chiefs, they say cornerback.
Yeah, they lost a lot. And I think losing Eric Berry just makes their entire secondary a little bit different. Not that they played with him all the time anyway, but they are going to need sort of a total overhaul over that in that place.
Yeah, I think they're about to run into a bunch of cap issues, which is why they made some of the moves they made.
They are.
Miami Dolphins, edge rusher. Who cares? It's the Dolphins. They're terrible. New England
everything.
New England Patriots, tight end.
Okay. They signed Ben Watson yesterday.
Yeah, he's not going to retire. So.
And they have Seferian Jenkins. I don't know if that's a glaring need. If you're thinking, oh, I got to find another Gronk.
Right.
Yeah, where's that guy?
That's not going to happen. Yeah, you're not going to be able to replace him. So I think they've got enough there. Giants, they have edge rusher. The Giants are a mess. Jets offensive line.
Agreed.
I do think the Jets have a chance to be a pretty solid team this year. Somebody out of the Jets and the Bills, bold prediction, one of those two is going to make the playoffs as like a 9-7 wild card.
Ooh. Okay.
Happens every year. Somebody you don't expect.
A shocker, yeah.
Raiders need an edge rusher. Shocker. They've needed an edge rusher since they traded away one.
If only they would have had a guy like that.
Yeah, if you could only get a Khalil Mack type.
Yeah, it's really hard to get a guy like that into your organization and then keep him. I mean, if only they just given him a lot of money.
Seahawks, they say edge rusher, but I think they address that in the draft, because every time I think, oh, that guy's not really that good, Seahawks draft him, they're that good.
Yeah, I here's what I'll say. If I were saying the Seahawks really have a need, well, I would say that they're looking at Ziggy Ansah, by the way. Seattle is. I saw that today.
I think they signed him.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Well, I saw the news right correctly last night.
They need DK Metcalf to be what physically he's capable of being. I don't know that he's going to be that anytime soon. They need, to me, their biggest need is like a consistent pass catcher, because without Doug Baldwin, they're kind of playing with a bunch of guys who, well, maybe he'll be good, maybe he won't be good, including Tyler Lockett, who is kind of their version of Will Fuller. When he's out there, he's really fast, he stretches the defense, he can make some big plays. He's almost never out there because he's always hurt.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say that's still got to be up on the at the top of their needs list.
Yeah, Ziggy Ansah did sign with the Seahawks, okay. So that's official. That's a good pickup for them. And this is the time now where you're not factoring these guys into the compensation pick package. So right. Now, if you get a guy like that now, that's a good pickup.
Yeah,
and I don't know what the number was on it, but definitely signed him. 713-780-ESPN. By the way, Jason Pierre-Paul will not have to have neck surgery, but he's still going to be out 5 to 6 months from that accident. So who knows if we'll ever see him on
the
field again.
Yeah, I don't know if we will.
It's kind of a shame.
It is. The guy was a freak.
All right. There's music. That means a break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So, I know we're a week away, but I really think I have my Preakness winner already. Unless he just draws a really crappy post. But I am all over a horse. We'll save it for next week.
You already told us.
All right. Fine.
Bourbon War?
Bourbon War is the horse.
Okay.
I'm all over him. I think he's going to be over. He's slightly listed at 6-1 right now. I think you can get him on line for 6.5-1. I think he'll be a little better than that. I'm hoping for 8 or 10 on race day.
All right.
So prepare yourself. And live racing tonight at Sam Houston. Buddy Roman was asking me if I was going to be out there. I will not tonight, but I will
tomorrow.
Be there tomorrow night from 7 to 9. And they've got some stakes races. So come join us. If you didn't win tickets, that's all right. You could still come by. There's always an extra table or so that you can hang out and have some food and we'll talk about the races, see if we can't make a little money tomorrow night.
Will you talk about other stuff besides the races?
Sure. Okay. Sure.
Talk about your sex life?
No, that's no one's business.
Kind of is, though.
Not really.
You doing that, what's those, the pills called? Commercials for them?
Oh, For Hims?
Yeah.
I'm not doing the pills right now. Right now, I'm not doing anything because I've got a pretty bad infection in my face.
Oh.
So so he says you can get him at 10-1 on 5 dimes. If you're on there and you get that price, I'd be all over it. I'd feel pretty good about it.
That's my book. I might do that.
Yeah. But I do think on race day, they're going to bet down Baffert's horse. And that means somebody's going to have to go up in the odds and hopefully it's mine.
AKA says, what team is a great fit for Doug Baldwin? Saints, KC, Bears, or someone else? I don't think Doug Baldwin's going to play football anymore.
Yeah. I think he's done.
I think Doug Baldwin is, if he were healthy enough to play, he wanted to be in Seattle as far as what I've read. He just can't play football anymore. So,
yeah, that's a shame because the guy's a hell of a player.
Yep. But
if you can't do it anymore, you can't do it anymore. And yeah, I don't think if he could still play, I don't think the Seahawks were going to be waiving him. But yeah, we'll see, but everything I've read is he wants to retire.
Yeah.
713-780 ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. I don't know if you saw this, but the directors of Endgame had a lot of they did a bunch of interviews and were talking about some things that didn't make the movie. Apparently, Lebowski Thor was going to fight Ripped Thor. And instead they decided to do the captain-on-captain thing, and that's why the scene didn't make it. I kind of think that would have been funnier.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't need to see two different Thors.
Well, I didn't need to see the didn't need to see Captain versus Captain either.
No, I don't need to see that either.
But I just think that I don't know. I love Lebowski Thor. I hope I hope he stays that way for Guardians.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think that was a one-time thing.
That's too bad, because there's something likable about Fat Thor.
I don't know why you liked that one so much. I don't know why. Like, I get you. I mean, to me, it was great as a. It would have been great as a one-time gag at the beginning. But for it to go for the whole movie, I was like, God, what are they doing? The whole thing that's cool about Thor is he's a stud.
Yeah, that's what made it so cool. That's what he evolved into. Because he's still a stud. He's just a fat, drunken stud.
Yeah, I guess so.
And fat, drunken, stupid is a good way to go through life.
There's worse ways to go through life, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give that to you.
And, that was the main thing. And they also left the door open that maybe Loki, his fate changed because of the scene change.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe he's still out there somewhere.
I don't know. I thought they said before this one, Loki's dead, forget about it, he's dead, period.
Yeah, but then there was a scene that wound up changing everything where he got away. So, you know, we'll see. I'm probably okay with him being dead. There's no real reason to keep trotting him out there. I didn't know this, apparently, but this Cub fan who got banned for flashing a racist gesture.
We got to talk about this racist gesture. I don't know. I'm not familiar, and you'll have to help me on this because you're very familiar with the white power movement.
No, not really. I'm very familiar with the half Arab American movement. That's my group.
What is the gesture here that is under attack?
I'll be honest, I have never heard of this. But apparently, if you're flashing an upside down okay symbol, that's a white supremacy sign.
Like that?
That, except upside down. Yeah.
Okay. Where I come from, that's called the circle game. You never seen the circle game?
No.
Kids do it a lot now, and they're like, my wife did our team's baseball pictures, and one of the kids did the circle game move. It's kind of a... The challenge is you're not supposed to... If someone's holding that and you look at it, I don't know. You lose. Let's just leave it at that. But I've never known it to have any sort of racial meanings.
Well, this is the first I've heard of it, but... Glanville, okay, so here's the statement. The incident is truly disgusting. It gives me shivers to watch that, to see that take place at Wrigley Field. Appropriately, we've made clear how egregious and unacceptable that behavior is, and there's no place for that in society, in baseball, and Wrigley Field. The person responsible will never be welcome back at Wrigley Field.
Wow, for playing the circle game.
And, we got Doug Glanville's statement here. He says, last evening, while I was providing live commentary during NBC Sports Chicago coverage of the Cubs-Marlins game on air, a fan used what appears to have been an offensive hand gesture that can be associated with white supremacy. I was made aware of what happened after the broadcast segment. The Cubs organization, with the cooperation of NBC Sports, is investigating. I applaud the responsiveness. It's just basically going on. But I honestly, I've never heard that.
Let me tell you what this is, the because you can't look it up as a real definition, but here's the circle game on Urban Dictionary. The game starts out with the offensive player creating a circle with their thumb and forefinger, not unlike an AOK signal, somewhere below his waist. His goal is to trick another person into looking at his hand. If the victim looks at the hand, he has lost the game and is subsequently hit on the bicep with a closed fist by the offensive player. Rules: the offensive player's hand must be below his waist. The victim should attempt to see the circle without looking down, in other words, by peripheral vision. The victim realizes there is a circle hand event occurring. He has two possible methods to winning the game. The victim does not look down at the signal. Instead, the victim stares the offensive player in the eye and says, "I'm not going to look at that," or words to that effect. The victim does not look down at the signal. Instead, the victim quickly pokes his index finger through the offensive player's circle hand display. If he can poke inside and break the circle, he wins and gets to hit the offensive player in the bicep. This action requires excellent motor skill to poke the circle without actually looking directly at it. If the victim looks at the circle, he loses and is hit. If he attempts to poke the circle and misses, he loses and is hit. If the victim attempts to poke the circle and the offensive player closes the circle, trapped in the victim's finger, then the victim loses and is hit. It is customary to play wipe off the hit after it is delivered. Quick open hand brush on the bicep. There is no limit on the type of distraction allowed by the offensive player to draw attention to the signal. A good tactic is saying, "Hey, is this yours?" or "You ought to try one of these." There's no limit to the number of times a day you can try this out. You'll find some people are easy to get and some people have good alertness and peripheral vision, tougher to get. That is a full definition. It's got 4,804 likes and 367 not likes. So to me, that's a very viable definition of the circle game. And honestly, the Chicago Cubs should take a good look at this entry and see that it's plus 4,500 in thumbs up to thumbs downs, and this is the accurate definition.
See, here's the problem. I have never heard of the game.
You're an old.
And I've never heard of the symbol.
You're an old person. You know the circle game, right, Aaron?
Yeah. What year did you learn? Like, what around how old were you when you learned it?
I don't even know.
Because we started playing it when I was in junior high in the early 2000s, and the reason it became popular was they did it on Malcolm in the Middle on an episode. The boys were doing that at dinner, and...
You mean Malcolm in the Racist Middle or just regular Malcolm in the Middle?
Just the regular Malcolm in the Middle. Oh, because okay. He had a black friend in a wheelchair, remember?
Oh, I thought Malcolm in the White Supremacy Middle was a different show where there was no black kid in a wheelchair.
No, this one actually, like, he had a friend that was in a wheelchair that was black. But yes, they started playing this game on the show.
How
and
progressive
then
of
that,
them.
The next day at school, that was what everybody was doing. So guys do it from the time I was about 11, 12, all the way up. We've done it. We still do it from time to time. If you get drinking too much, I think you drop that right there. And then you get to hit. And if the thing when we were kids was, if you go to swing and you stop your swing and the kid you're going to hit flinches, you get to hit him twice because man up, take a punch. Don't flinch like a little girl. That was how we did it when I was a kid, when I learned how to play the game. And I've known that as the circle games, 19 years, 20 years now?
Yeah. I think it's the early 2000s.
Yeah.
It wasn't around when I was in high school, but shortly thereafter.
Yeah, I got nothing.
My brother and his friends for sure play the circle game all the time.
Yeah, Barry says, Barry Laminex says, Jasper police officers got suspended a while back for the same thing. It's a white power symbol.
I don't believe that. That's BS.
I honestly, I'd never heard of that. That doesn't mean it's not true. Just means I've never heard of it. I hate when I can't comment on something because I don't know. I feel dumb.
That's all right. You're old.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. You planning on taking us to break anytime soon? Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Order like a pro this Mother's Day with ProFlowers. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the microphone, and enter code Fred and AJ to choose from a variety of bouquets, starting at just $19.99. We're going to give you a $50 gift card to ProFlowers at 5:52. Nah, see, now you're going to have time to Google. Here's the question. DeAndre Hopkins wants to do a movie about his mother.
I've heard about this.
Who does he want to play his mother in the movie? First caller at 5:50. With that answer, that's in 8 seconds. So, sorry, streamers, we're not going to be able to help you out on this
no
one.
No streamers today.
All right, do we want to take? We have people who want to talk about the Circle Game.
Okay,
let's try Scott. Let's see what Scott has to say.
All right, Scott.
Hey fellas, how we doing?
Doing all right.
Fred, you're 54, right?
Yeah.
I'm 5 years younger than you, and I was playing the Circle Game back in the late 80s.
I've never heard of the Circle Game. Sorry.
And didn't learn it from Malcolm in the Middle either.
Wow. I don't know how long. I don't know when the Circle Game was invented. I know I played it before. I definitely played it in the Army before. My brothers tried to play it with me. It's a thing. It's been a thing for a long time. I think there's been many iterations of it, but it all boils down to the same thing. It's the Circle Game. I don't think the Circle Game is racist.
Like I said, I've never heard of it. So,
Tyler, you play the Circle Game?
Yeah, I think we've established that the Circle Game has been around for a long time. I read an article in the Washington Post, which tells you a lot about this article, but apparently the white supremacists use that symbol because if people use it to play the circle, to do it as a white supremacist symbol, then they could pass it off as liberals just being hysterical, because they were using a simple symbol and not actually being racist.
Yeah.
So they were trying to pass it off as that. But I still don't agree with all that. I've been playing the Circle Game just like you, AJ, for a long time, about the same age. And so I think it's still pretty ridiculous. And I think that the guy was probably playing the Circle Game and not being a white supremacist.
Are you a white supremacist, Tyler?
Something on the weekends, maybe, but that's about it.
Not a full-timer, though. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah, I don't know. Like, you can't just take something like the Circle Game and say all of a sudden this is a white power thing. That's like me saying if I was like the head dragon of the Ku Klux Klan or something, saying our new move for 2019 is the high five. So if you're one of us, you go around high-fiving people. And then now everybody who high-fives is a Klansman all of a sudden? It's irrational. It's absurd. And the Cubs owe this man an apology. Who was that? Who was the black guy? Was it Doug Glanville?
Yeah.
Did he think it was racist?
He didn't know about it because the guy was behind him.
But did they ask Doug Glanville what he thinks about it?
I read his statement.
What was his statement?
Oh, no, I got to go find the damn thing.
I need to know.
Basically, he was just saying that... Now I got to go find it. I wish you'd been paying attention when I was actually reading it.
Sorry.
Because now...
I was paying attention. We talked about... I mean, we made a whole segment of this.
Yeah, I know. But I actually gave you his statement, and now you're asking me for his statement.
Oh, well, forget it. I mean, was he saying the guy should be banned for life is what I want to know.
No, he basically just sort of said that a fan used what appears to have been an offensive hand gesture that can be associated with white supremacy. I was made aware of what happened after the broadcast segment. Said I applaud the responsiveness of the Cubs organization. They have reached out to me and are supportive of my role in the broadcast and continue to have a desire to uphold an inclusive environment at Wrigley Field. They have displayed sensitivity as how the implications of this would affect me as a person of color. I'm supporting their efforts fully in investigating the matter, and I will comment further once the investigation has run its course.
Okay. It sounds he's in support of them getting rid of this guy.
Yeah, so. But he also didn't come out and say it.
All right. Well, I am going to go out on a limb here, and I know it probably makes me a hardcore right-winger, but the circle game is not racist. This is me letting you know, if you're a lunatic and you think the circle game is racist, then you are probably a white supremacist and you're going along with that nonsense. What's next? Open chest is racist?
I don't know, man. I don't follow these things as closely as I should, I guess. That because I honestly, I wonder how many hand gestures that I use now are offensive to somebody.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's still okay to shoot the finger to people, right?
Well, that's sensitive. That's actually that finger, that middle finger is basically, that means that you are pro-abortion. Not pro-choice, pro-abortion.
Yeah, but I want to go out and kill babies.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're because there's a big movement out there for pro-abortion people who think that abortion should be done even when it's
just for fun.
Yeah, even
like have a party.
Like even if you want the baby, there's a group out there who thinks that all babies should be aborted. And the middle finger is now their international sign. So
okay, so what about this? What about this?
Oh, what used to be known as the peace sign?
Yes.
That means that you remember the video Two Girls One Cup?
Yes.
That's from the International People Who Eat Poop Association. That's the way for you to let people know.
So you tell that you're telling them you're pro poop eating.
That you'll eat, like if you give someone that sign, that lets them know that you will eat their poop.
Okay, so I got to put this in my notebook. Okay.
You want to know what the thumbs up is?
Yeah, what happens to that?
The thumbs up, it's big in the gay community.
I know you were going with this.
I mean, just letting you know, things have changed.
Okay, so let me see. All right, what about if I want to support the University of Houston like this? What does that mean?
Sexism.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, so I'm safe to support the University of Houston sporting teams.
Yes, I think so.
Since it doesn't mean anything.
I think that that's still okay.
Okay, good. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And we'll have our buddy RJ Bell on here very soon.
Are we going to ask RJ Bell about the circle game? Yeah, I'm going to ask him about it.
Okay. I don't have my copy for this.
I'll tell you about besthotelrates.com. Awesome. I did it yesterday while you were dying, but that's okay. No big deal. Listen, if you are a man who travels, if you're a man about town or a jet setter, then you know that hotels can get expensive. And here's a way where you can save money on hotels and have more money to do crazy things while you're on vacation that you wouldn't do around your wife. Simply go to besthotelrates.com, plug in your destination, when you're going to be traveling, boom, you're looking at a discounted rate for many of the hotels that you'd be paying way more for somewhere else. You're saving money. Everybody likes to save money. Book through besthotelrates.com. Great customer service. Your stay is safe and secure. And you're thinking, how am I ever going to remember the name of this website to get the best hotel rates? It's simple. Besthotelrates.com. It's right there in the name. Besthotelrates.com.
ESPN 97.5.